Alter. Uy, leches. So, can you hear? Is this okay? I mean, okay. So I always start the same way. So M will be a three manifold, and it will be orientable. And so the boundary of M will be empty, and I will be interested in the case that M is non-compact. Okay, and so there is a word that Dick used before, so I will also, I mean, this is implied if the manifold is hyperbolic, so, but it is irreducible. This means every embedded sphere into the manifold bounds a ball. Okay. So Dick wrote the definition before, but M is, the manifold M is tame, and a more, so a different name is almost compact, almost compact. So in Clarion groups, one always use the word tame or topologically tame. So M is tame if there exists a compact manifold. N such that M is homeomorphic to the interior of N, so that is N without its boundary. Okay. So, and, yeah, there is some Martin's conjecture. Which by now is a theorem, but I mean, I don't know, it sounds weird to say Martin's theorem if it is not Martin's. So it is, and this was proved by Ian Eagle and Calegari. It's like this or two L's? It's like this? Okay. Calegari Cabai. So it says that every hyperbolic three manifold with finitely generated FG means finitely generated, so finitely generated fundamental group is topologically tame. Is tame. Okay. But I mean, I will not give the proof of that complete, but I mean, I hope to, I will give some arguments and so on. But first I want to convince you that this is a miracle, that this happens. I mean, yes? Okay. So, but I start with two observations. So, the first one is, so if M has finite volume, so if M has finite volume, then it follows from the Margulis lemma or something like that, that there exists and bar contained in M such that M without M bar is equal to the disjoint union, so parallel lines of copies of S1 times S1 times 0 infinity. Okay, so somehow the manifold looks like that, and then there is this submanifold M bar, and the end is just a Cuspidal neighborhood. So the tameness in particular, I mean, this implies that M is homeomorphic to the interior of M bar, and hence it's tame. Okay, so the second case where this holds is, the second case one has to consider is, so this was mentioned by Jeff and by Dick, and probably is going to be mentioned by everyone from now on. So I mean, if it is what is geometrically finite, so if M is geometrically finite, so recall that this means that the convex core of M, so I use two C's, yes. So the convex core of M has, the volume of the convex core of M is finite. Yes, this is, it's geometrically finite. Then one has this convex core, which has nice convex boundary, and the exterior is a, has a product structure. So if M is, if it is geometrically finite, then the complement, so M without the convex core of M is homeomorphic to, okay, the boundary of the convex core of M times 0 R. I mean, so you have these lines going out. And in particular, M is homeomorphic to the interior of the convex core of M. And the assumption, well, so this is always true. I mean, the assumption that the volume of the convex core is finite implies that the convex core is, so the convex core of M is compact, say, so up to parabolics compact. So the assumption that the volume is implies that M is tame. It is just, I mean, I will assume essentially always that there are no parabolics. So, and if there are no parabolics, then it is equivalent that the convex core has finite volume and that the convex core is compact. So, and if there are parabolics, then I mean, somehow one makes some sort of argument as here, and then one extends it to that case. Okay? So, these are two cases where the manifold is known to be tame. So the second case is due to Martin. Okay, so but this sort of looks great. But one should be a little bit aware. So, I mean, nowhere here it was used that the manifold is three-dimensional. So this A and B hold for manifolds of every dimension. I mean, yes? So you just have different versions of Margulis lemma here, or again the same projection argument. So it sort of seems that, and so that until now, I mean, here one should be able to write n-dimensional manifold, or one should be able to write whatever. I mean, this is a, these two things are just properties of non-positive curvature. Okay. So, and therefore, I mean, this is, it's good to know that, but it is not nearly to half of the deal, I mean. Okay. So then, so before going further, I would like to say that, I mean, if M, so an observation, so if M is tame, then the fundamental group of M, say M is homeomorphic to the interior of N, then the fundamental group of M is the same as the fundamental group of N. This is perhaps difficult to believe, but yeah. No, this is clear. So, and in particular, I mean, the fundamental group of every compact manifold is not only finitely generated, but also finitely presentable. Finitely presentable. So this means, I mean, one has finite set of generators and finite set of relators. So in particular, I mean, one thing one should be aware of is that of the following sort of example that can happen. I mean, one has, so if M is hyperbolic, so this means that the fundamental group of M is contained, is isomorphic to a subgroup of PSL to C, yes, and I'm going to forget the P for a moment. So this is fitting into SL for R. Okay, so and somehow if one takes, so in SL to R, no, in SL for R, one has two copies of SL to R. This is sitting in SL for R, so like that and that. Okay, so if I, if now I take here, so SL2R contains a free group, say in two generators. So here this contains also a free group in two generators. Okay, so now if one takes, so this group is generated by A, B, and that one is generated by C, D, then I have an homomorphism. I'm trying to construct an example to see what kind of miracles happen in three dimensions. So, to set, so by sending A, B, C, D, so sending everything like that to one. Yes? Okay, so this has some kernel. And it is a fact that K, the group K, is finitely generated, but not finitely presentable. I mean, so in particular, this says that Marden's conjecture cannot be true if one considers manifolds which are quotients of H2 times H2. Yes? I mean, if I have SL2R and times SL2R times SL2R, I have here an H2, here another H2. So these are four dimensional manifolds. So somehow, I mean, one has to sort of be aware that the Taine's conjecture is something which is very three-dimensional, in spite of these things being much more general. Okay. But in dimension three, I mean, there is the lucky fact, or, well, I don't know if the lucky fact, the probably nice theorem, due to Scott, who proves that if M is an irreducible three-manifold, so recall that this is just that balls, so sphere-bound balls, with finitely generated fundamental group, then M contains a compact sub-manifold C, which was called before by Dick R after complaints, but I will call it C, whatever the complaints are. Excuse me? So this is the convex core. I mean, here I also could use CC, yes, for the compact core. So this is a compact submanifold, so called the Scott core, such that what? Such that the inclusion of C into M is a homotopy equivalence. Homotopy equivalence. So, in particular, I mean, one has that the fundamental group of M is isomorphic to the fundamental group of C, and hence finitely presentable. Okay? So, this sort of diseases cannot happen in dimension three. And this is the first point where one sees that something particular of dimension three is happening. Okay, so but I mean, so now, so I don't know, this with the Marden's conjecture is sort of a history of failures for some of us and successes for other people. So I mean, one has, so when one sees this, then one thinks, okay, one is home free. I mean, so somehow, so Marden's conjecture can be now formulated like so. So this is equivalent to M is homeomorphic to the interior of the Scott core. So, because someone, I don't know whom, probably McCullough, something like this, prove that the Scott code was unique up to homeomorphism. So, in particular, I mean, if it is tame, you can just see a code. I mean, you remove from the. If it is tame, you can. You know that here you have a product structure. In particular, this here is a core. It's a Scott core. So, and this here is then homeomorphic to any other Scott core. And this here is the interior, the manifold is homeomorphic to the interior of that. I mean, yes, you have a product. Okay, so I mean, you know, you have Scott's theorem, and then you think, okay, there is no way that something, so that this does not hold. Okay, so but then, I mean, when sort of remember something of some topology class, and there is the Whitehead manifold. So the Whitehead manifold everyone has seen before is a contractible tree manifold, which is not homeomorphic. To R3. So, I mean, and R3, it is not difficult to see, so sort of an exercise that R3 is the only contractible tame tree manifold. Okay, so, but somehow, I don't know, this Whitehead manifold is a monster, yes? So, in particular, I mean, I don't know, I mean, the Whitehead manifold is homeomorphic to R3, it is simply connected, whatever. I mean, in our case, one has a manifold which, so whose universal kava is the ball, yes, so it's homeomorphic to R3. So one tries to forget about the Whitehead manifold. But there is the following example that one should have in mind. So I mean, so the example should be a manifold M, so irreducible. Three manifold M with pi 1 of M is Z, and so where in Canada no one is going to complain if I say Z, and the universal kava of M.
I don't like that.
You don't like Z? Go back to Salt Lake City. So the universal kava is R3. Okay? So I'm going to describe the construction now. So in fact, a funny thing is that one can find uncountably many of these things. And so this is something like that there are a lot of properly discontinuous axioms of Z onto R3, which are not conjugated to a linear axiom. So somehow, I mean, and which have no fixed points and nothing. So it's a weird example from my point of view. Okay. So, okay, so how to construct this three manifold? I mean, this is something that even if the universal kava is nice, the manifold, yeah, so this could be a solid torus by now. So, and M is not plane. Okay, so how does one construct that? I mean, so then it's the same construction as all sorts of Whitehead manifold-like things. So one starts with a picture, so a solid torus which looks like that. And inside this solid torus, I mean, so this is a donut. And inside there is a worm, which looks this makes sense, yes? Right. So this is a knot inside the solid torus, which is homotopic to the soul of the solid torus, but it is not isotopic. Okay, so now I took a, so this is the regular neighborhood of a knot. Okay, so and I call this piece in between, so this is Y. And the boundary of Y has two parts. It has an exterior boundary, so boundary plus of Y, this is that, and then there is boundary minus of y. Okay? And so this is this violet thing. And so now, I mean, if, so what can I do with this y? I mean, if I, so I start, so I write n0 is going to be s1 times t2. Okay, so now, I mean, if I have this solid torus, and I have my p is y, so then I can use this solid torus to fill in this knot. So the, to replace, so I identify this solid torus with the neighborhood of that knot. So what this says is that there is a way, if I can, there is a way of identifying boundary of, so n0 with y, so I am identifying the boundary of n0 with the interior boundary of y, so that this becomes, again, a solid torus. Okay? I mean, so I just, so to construct y, I removed a solid torus. So if I put the solid torus in the same way inside, then I get my original donut, so I just fill it with cream. Okay, so now I can do the same thing. M2, this is M1 union y. So this is again, by the, I always glue in the same way, this is again a solid torus. So and inductively I can define Mn plus 1 is equal Mn union y. So, does anyone read that? Well, okay, whatever. So one has, so n is defined as the union of the mn's. And if one is or has been a member of the French elite, then one writes limit, I think, like that. I mean, I just take this this increasing union. Is this a direct limit? Okay, so. I was only for a year a member of the French elite. Okay. So so you have this manifold, and I mean this manifold, so okay, so it is irreducible. M is irreducible because of what? I mean, because if I have a sphere, this sphere is going to be contained in some of the tori or in some of the MNs, yes. So but a solid torus is irreducible, so in particular it's going to bound a ball within this Mn, in particular it's going to bound a ball in M. So this is irreducible, it's fine. Then the next claim was that the fundamental group of M is isomorphic to Z. And I mean, and this just follows from the fact that the fundamental group of the map from the fundamental group of Mn, so I have my map from Mn into Mn plus 1. This induces me a map from that to between the fundamental groups. Okay, so this is solid torus, this is Z. And this is solid torus, this is Z. And the fact that my lila thing is that the knot I chose is homotopic to the soul of the solid torus, say that this is an isomorphism. So and now it's an exercise to prove that the fundamental group is set. Okay? So, and in fact, each one, so if one wants, so for example, I mean, and so this here implies that Scott's theorem applies, but so here, directly one sees many compact cores, because for all n, Mn is a compact core of M. Okay, so it is set, and one has this isomorphism. Okay, so what else? So then I was claiming that the universal cover of M of M is homomorphic to R3, but I'm not, so I don't think that I want to prove that, but this is a fact. If you have a manifold which is exhausted by compact cores, the universal cover is always homomorphic to R3. This is sort of a generalization of a theorem of Whitehead. So this is not okay. And The next thing, so the next claim was that M is not same. Okay, so I mean, now let's see. I mean, an observation is that if M is tame, so if a manifold is tame, then, so I said before that the fundamental group was finitely presentable. I mean, but by the same argument, it's necessary that the fundamental group is finitely generated. So, but one has even more. I mean, if M is tame and X in M is a compact submanifold, then, I mean, so say M is tame, so M is homeomorphic to the interior of N. So then M without X is homeomorphic to the interior of N without a regular neighborhood of X. So, and this is now a compact manifold. Compact manifold. So this implies that the fundamental group of M without X is finitely generated. Okay, so now one can see here that this beast is not tame. Because, so, if one takes, I mean, so M is the union of all these beasts, yes? M is equal to M0 union Y. This is M1. Union Y. This is M2. Union Y, and so on. Okay? So I claim that the fundamental group of M without N0 is not finitely generated. Yeah, I mean, in fact, so the fundamental group of M without N0 is essentially, well, it's not essentially, it is an infinite amalgamated product. So this is the fundamental group of Y union Y union Y, and a hell of a lot of them. So this is pi 1 of Y amalgamated over C2, pi 1 of Y amalgamated over C2, whatever. I mean, and if one takes, so here, none of these, so these maps are both injective, and none of them is surjective. So, and this, so Bas-Shaff theory or something like that implies that any such group is infinitely generated. So one can see it in a picture, actually. Because if I go back to that, I mean, I can assume that this manifold I have painted here, this solid torus, is M2. Okay? So then, this here, the lila thing, is, where is that? Is M1. Okay, but inside of M1, I have M0. And how does M0 look like? I mean, it is a knotted, so a knotted solid torus inside this knotted solid torus. So it looks, so here is a knot somewhere. You probably see that it's not the first time that I draw this knot. Yeah? So now, I mean, when you think two knots, and if I go to, so I have, my manifold looks like, so here I have M0, here I have M1, here I have M2, and so on. So if I am in the boundary of M1, then I see M0 knotted once. If I am in the boundary of M2, I see M0 knotted twice. And if I go out, then I see it more and more and more and more knotted. So this makes plausible that this, that the group of the whole thing is infinitely generated. Okay, so the argument, or a possible argument, is using Bas-Shaff theory. Okay. So now somehow, what I want to do is, so these are the sort of examples that can happen. Yes? So, and this is the sort of things that one wants to prevent. And I want to try to convince you that within hyperbolic manifolds this does not happen. So this is so I want to prove a very particular case of the Thames conjecture. And the theorem I want to prove, yes, because one has to write something, is M hyperbolic by one of M isomorphic to a free group, Fn. So this is essentially the most complicated case. So the assumption that, that it's a free group is not, I'm not cheating by now. Yes? Okay? So then I will also assume that the injectivity radius of M is greater than equal sub epsilon, so that it is positive, yes, that, or equivalently, there exists some epsilon such that every geodesic has length greater than equal epsilon. So far, this is a quite particular case, but if one understands this proof, then the general case follows. It's essentially the same sort of, it's a strong, a little bit stronger than assuming that there are no parabolics. Yes, so everyone accepts that one can assume that there are no parabolics. And, okay, so sometimes one tries to make a joke and it does not succeed, and when one does not try, it succeeds. Unbelievable. Okay, so and M is equal to the union of Ci contained in Ci plus 1, Ci homeomorphic to a Handel body of genus G. I mean, this sort of, also I should probably say what is a Handel body. I mean, Handel body is just, Handel body of genus 2 is you take that nice cute surface and you fill it with cream. So you get something which is solid. Yeah? So this is the same as a ball together with two handles. So this is a Handel body. So, and this is the same case as there, yeah? I mean, so there I have Handel bodies of genus 1. Yes? So, and so then N is homeomorphic to the Handel body of genus G. So A is homeomorphic to the interior of a Handel body of genus G. So in this picture, this is H2. And either N is geometrically finite, or it's only N is singly degenerate. Okay? So this is the sort of statement that one really wants. I mean, this is what, so the information that it is homeomorphic to the interior of a Handel body, this is that the Thames conjecture holds for this particular disk. And the second duality is somehow what Dick was saying, that it is what implies, so what has geometric consequences. Okay. Sorry? Who proved that theorem? I don't know. So I assume that Benson. No, so it's myself. I think. Yeah. So this is. Okay. So and. Okay. So how does one prove that? So and somehow. Okay, one has this manifold, yep. It looks like this, and one has all these Handel bodies, which are exhausting the manifold. It's the same picture as there. Yes? So and what one wants to say is that these surfaces are parallel. So one has here the boundary of C1, the boundary of C2, boundary of C3. So one wants, so claim is, for there is a subsequence so Cij such that boundary of C I J 1 is parallel to boundary of C I J 2 for all J 1, J 2. I mean, so parallel means that in between there is a trivial interval bundle. Okay? Because if I have that, then I can go, so I assume that this subsequence is my whole sequence. Then if I know that between C1 and C2 there is an interval bundle, and between C2 and C3 another, and then another, and then another, then all they together build to a trivial interval bundle. So this is what one wants to prove. Okay? And the theorem one wants to use, theorem is due to Waldhausen, it is that two embedded by one injective homotopic surfaces in an irreducible three manifold are parallel. Okay? So, I mean, pi 1 injective means that the map on fundamental group is parallel, so it's injective. And probably I should assume that it is not a sphere or something like that. And, okay? So, now, I mean, what fails here, so here I have these surfaces are all embedded. And it is not difficult to see that they are all homotopic to each other. I mean, because it follows essentially from the assumptions here that the inclusion, that each one of these things is a compact form. Yes? So, I mean, in particular, the inclusion is a homotopy equivalence. I can take my handle body and squeeze it to a graph, and then this I can do with any two of them. Yes? So, I'm going down and up gives me an homotopy between the surface. The only problem is that these surfaces are not pi 1 injective. And this is the same sort of problem that one has here. Okay? So, and now there is, so what, yeah, but what one can do is, so choose lambda subset M be a collection of geodesics such that, so of closed geodesics, simple closed geodesics, such that if one has a splitting pi 1 of m is equal the free product of two things, and this is a non-trivial splitting, then there exists gamma in lambda such that gamma cannot be conjugated into any of the factors, into A or B. Okay? So somehow, I mean, if one has a non-trivial splitting, then there is some gamma which lies in a complicated way. I mean, so for example, to get something like this, one can take a basis for the homology and another curve which represents the sum of all these basis elements, and then take geodesics representing that. Yes? So this is not difficult to get. And so what one sees is that, so fact is a little bit follows from the dense lemma, but fact is for sufficiently large I, the surface boundary of Ci is incompressible. Is pi 1 injective, pi 1 injective in M without delta. Okay? So, and so now, I mean, what one can just, so now, I mean, the problem is, So for example, I mean, here in this case, you can imagine I removed the central curve of M0. Yes? So the problem is until now, so is that I said these surfaces, I want to prove that they are parallel, they were homotopic to each other. Yes? So now here, what I want to prove is that they are, no, that they are homotopic to each other. Because, so claim, up to passing to a subsequence, boundary Ci is homotopic to boundary Cj for in M without delta for sufficiently large I and j. So if I have that, yes, I am in the situation of using Ballhausen's theorem, because I have embedded surfaces which are homotopic, yes, and which are pi 1 injective, yes. So in particular, they bound trivial interval bundles. Okay. So now, how does one prove that? And this is essentially the only point. So until now, everything was very topological, and now there is some geometric construction. So it is, okay, so one wants to start with this surface, yes, and one wants to make it sort of, one wants to pull it, so to homotopy it down in some way, yes? Okay? So, then, so, the theorem one needs, and this is due to Sommer, is the following, is, in this setting, so, for sufficiently large I, boundary of Ci is, so there is a homotopy that does what? So if I is starting in, so from the sign of boundary of Ci times Co1 into M, such that the following holds. So the first thing is that until the very last moment, I don't touch my link lambda. So Fi of boundary of Ci times Co1 is contained in M without lambda. The second thing is, well, okay, so first Fi of boundary of Ci times 0 is boundary of Ci, yes? And the third one is that Fi of boundary of Ci times 1 is a hyperbolic surface. So hyperbolic in the sense of big, I mean that the curvature, so it's a cat minus 1 space or something like that. So the extrinsic curvature is, so it has intrinsic curvature at most minus 1. Okay? So, and yeah, just a brief sketch of how the proof of this theorem goes, because it is brilliant, in my opinion. I mean, so one has, I mean, these are the geodesics, yes? So the geodesics, this is lambda. Uh-huh. So, in some way I have my surface. And so I would like to do a construction like Dick was describing about how to get a simplicial hyperbolic surface. Yes, I mean, to get a simplicial hyperbolic surface, the construction that Dick was, well, so let's make it smaller. So that Dick was saying is, okay, so you start with a vertex, you have a privileged edge, and then you choose a triangulation. And since no one knows how to draw a triangulation of the surface, then you add more, yes, I mean, okay, so you get the triangulation of your surface, and then you pull the privileged edge tight, yes, and then you pull everything else tight, and you get a surface with an intrinsic negative curvature. Okay, so this works fine if you can pull tight. The problem is if the map from your surface into the third manifold is not Taiwan injective, then it could be so that this lila thing is homotopic, so it's not homotopic to a geodesic. I mean, it is just homotopically trivial in the manifold. So, and then, I mean, when you try to pull it tight, what do you get? Yes? So, somehow, but the idea is to use this construction, so to use to this construction using this as a barrier. Yes? I mean, so, and it is like, so now you have your surface, the boundary of CI is here. Yes? Okay. So, and, yeah, I want a fourth property. So, this is a simplicial hyperbolic surface, which intersects, which touches, so which intersects lambda. So I want to write it down. Okay, so I mean, what I can do is I can start. So I take my point and I take this edge, and this edge is taken to be compressible in the manifold. Okay, so I mean, it is incompressible. So it is not is homotopically trivial outside of this knot. So somehow, if I see this as a rubber band and this as metal wires, yes, then when I pull tight, this thing is going to wrap here around like that. Yes. Okay. So, and I mean, now I can continue the construction. I have my point here, yes, and I have this other arc. This other arc, I mean, if I am, well, so not that one, but some other arc may be homotopically trivial. Okay? So now, I mean, if I make it, so let's draw more complicated. So if now my other arc runs in principle like this, yes, or like, I don't know, like that. So when I pull it tight, if perhaps it's sitting nicely without touching my arc, yes, but it may touch these things again, yes, okay. So somehow what you do is you do all this construction using, so the same construction using this link lambda as barriers. And okay, so the formal argument why this works is because if you take M without lambda and you take the cover of that, so you have a cover here, and N is the cover corresponding to pi 1 of the boundary of CI, then so you pull back the metric here and you take the, you complete it, then completion of N is a cat minus one space. I mean, so what you need, I mean, when you are speaking of pulling tight, it's a question about negative curvature. Yes, but I mean, it's essentially a question about, it's a synthetic argument, so if you have cat minus one spaces, then it works. Okay, and somehow at the same time by construction, so this is how you construct your simplicial hyperbolic surface or your hyperbolic surface, and by construction you have an homotopy because you started with here and you started so with this dot and this line and then you homotoped it to this thing and then you continued homotoping. Yes, so this is the proof of Sommer's theorem. And so this touches lambda because I choose to start with a curve which was homotopically trivial. Okay? So, but, great. So now, I mean, if you, the next thing one needs is that there is, so an observation, is that if gamma is contained in M without delta and so it's a curve and is homotopically, so homotopic in M without delta to an essential. Curve in the boundary of Ti, then the length of gamma is greater than some epsilon. I mean, okay, so first, I assumed before that my manifolds had, that every geodesic was longer than epsilon. So, and the only way to be then shorter than epsilon is to be homotopic, so homotopically trivial, but so somehow, I mean, I can just, so my epsilon perhaps has to change, but it is, if I make things incompressible, then I make, I get also some epsilon. Okay, so, and now the key point, so all this looks perhaps weird, but the key point is the bounded diameter lemma. Due to Thurston Pradio, I don't know, to whom. And it is that, so it's just the observation that if, so in this version, that if F is a compact surface with, so this means with curvature bounded somehow by minus one, and every essential curve has at least length epsilon, then the diameter, so the longest connection in S, so the longest path, but so then the maximum of distance between two points is less or equal, okay, so it is 2 pi Euler characteristic of S over pi epsilon square. Okay, so how do you prove that? How do you prove that? I mean, so if you have two points, x and y, and you take a path between both, which is shortest, I mean, then you can cover it by epsilon balls, which are embedded. So each one of these epsilon balls has at least this area. So the area of the whole surface is, by Gauss-Bonnet, at most that. Yes? So therefore, I mean, you cannot have more balls than this. Okay. Yeah? So, now, in this situation in which we are, I mean, we have this manifold, and we have here our complicated link, yes, and we have these surfaces going out, and each one of these surfaces is homotopic to a simplicial hyperbolic surface, which has not much diameter. Yes, the diameter is bounded. So if I stop my homotopy just before touching, yes, I find that every one of these surfaces is homotopic to a surface, so boundary Ci is homotopic to a surface Xi, so Xi homotopic to boundary of Ci in what? In M without thing, I stopped briefly before, and the diameter of Xi is less or equal, I don't know, something. So, okay, 2 pi Euler characteristic. The Euler characteristic in this case is the Euler characteristic of this. The Euler characteristic of this is 2g minus 2 over pi epsilon square, so I'm plus 1 because I stopped a little bit before. And the distance, so distance of, so the this intersects the radius 1 neighborhood around Xi. So I have all these surfaces which are cramped here. Okay, but all these surfaces are now contained in a compact manifold. So, and they are all incompressible. So this is, so this implies, so implies Xi's are contained in some compact manifold. and they are incompressible. And yes, I mean some form of Arcella-Ascoli argument or something like this implies they are only they represent only finitely many homotopy classes. So Arcella-Ascoli, they represent only finitely many homotopy classes. Okay, so this says that all these surfaces up to passing to a subsequence are homotopic to each other here, but then they are homotopic to each other, these two surfaces, and because they are incompressible, they bound by Wallhausen's theorem a trivial interval bundle. Okay, so this proves that the manifold is tame. And for the claim that they are, so I wrote that either the manifold is irreducible, no, it's geometrically finite, or it is, or its only n is singly degenerate. I mean, it has only one n because it's homeomorphic to a handle body. I mean, it's homeomorphic to that handle body, and this is a product region. So somehow what you do now is you can just, if it is geometrically finite, you are done. And if not, you find geodesics which run out in the end. So, and then you consider the union of your old link together with this geodesic, and you make the same construction as there for this here, for the surface which are outside. So this gives you a surface here, yk, homotopic to ck within the end, and with negative curvature. So this is somehow the sort of the proof. Okay, and I'm sorry for have been 2 minutes too much or something like this. It is bounded by a meta lemma, and also, okay, so a weird thing is that this is one of my favorite examples. So you can modify this construction I gave here with a knot and blah blah. So to say that there is, so there is this XM, say, contractible, non tame, and such that there exists K in M compact, no, so which admits a metric which is hyperbolic outside of a compact set. So I mean, you can make a construction where it's not a property of being hyperbolic at the end. So you really need hyperbolic everywhere. And the sort of reason for that is that, I mean, you need to be able to make things. So I was making things tight, yes. And somehow, I mean, if so, you need to be able to, something has to tell you that if you are homotopically trivial, yes, then you are not homotopic to a geodesic, something like this. I mean, it is, in all these examples, if you take many curves which are homotopically trivial, I mean, they are homotopic to geodesics, because outside of some compact place, you are hyperbolic. Yes, but this cannot happen in a hyperbolic manifold. So all this construction about pulling tight and blah, 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 so they use that you are cut minus, so that the universal cover is cut minus one. Yes, and this is what you really need. The assumption of this theorem is you have M is hyperbolic, and yes, and what? Why? Because I mean, else I cannot say that this is cut minus one. I mean, this color. Yes, I mean. So you really need. It is strange. I mean. So this example is very strange because you would sort of think that what you need is to be hyperbolic at infinity. I mean, and what happens in some compact piece does not matter, but it does. Yes. So you need globally hyperbolic. I mean, make any sense? No, I can. I mean, so okay, so I'm at it. So you, the only point is that, so I assumed, so the this was the injectivity radius assumption said something about allowed me to write such a nice formula, but I mean, else I have not such a direct bound. I mean, if I have no parabolics, then you have some sort of similar bound for as long as you know that you intersect some compact set. The bound depends on the compact set. And if you have parabolics, then you have to work more. I mean, parabolics multiply the length of every paper by 10. But they, it is not a fundamental difficulty. Yes. Yeah, I mean, so somehow, in the general theorem, so what you don't have in general is that these things, these surfaces I was constructing, are incompressible. So normally they are compressible because you can construct these things where just the genus of the handle body grows and grows and grows and grows. Yes, and so somehow what you have to construct to find smartly surfaces of bounded genus. But essentially, the argument goes like this. I mean, so this is what I was doing here is a version of Gabay's and Caligari's string wrapping. So this is, they do it with minimal surfaces, but some approves as I was that you can do it in this more combinatorial way. And yeah, I mean, so there is an ingredient in the proof that it's missing, but so that I didn't talk about. Yes, but it is essentially the assumption that these surfaces have bounded genus that I built in assuming that they bound handle bodies. It's the only difference. Okay. Okay. In the what?
The question is, do you believe that miracles happen or not? So you make so convincing argument that it's a miracle that it's hard to believe that.
Okay. Yeah, it is a complete axiom. So somehow, I mean, I don't know. So okay, the whole proof goes if you remove the assumption that it's hyperbolic by saying that it has negative curvature, then it's fine. It goes through. So I'm not so sure. So probably it also goes through if it is non-positive curvature. But somehow, I mean, if one. It is weird. I mean, the problem is that if you make a conjecture about, well, not you, so anyone, yes. So a conjecture about three manifolds which are open, a topological conjecture, and you don't assume that they are tame, then I claim it is wrong. Yes, because you can construct all possible sorts of counterexamples. Yes, but I mean, the weird thing is that these. I mean, to be negatively curved, what it means is that if you are homotopically trivial, then you are really homotopically trivial. I mean, that you can contract in a nice way to a point, yes, which does not happen. I mean, if you have something which looks like, I don't know, so you have a bunch of spheres which are joined by some neck, then you don't see that curve here is homotopically trivial. I mean, to see that, you have to go very far away. But in a hyperbolic manifold, if you see a curve of length 25, which is homotopically trivial, then it is homotopically trivial within a ball of radius 25. Yes. So in fact, 12 and a half. I mean, so this is a.
Can you make some purely topological statement? So some class of manifolds,
purely topological, but same. There is a theorem of Tucker. I don't know how to pronounce it, that says that if the manifold is tame. So I said the way to prove that this example there was not to aim was to say, okay, I can remove this little bit thing, and the fundamental group becomes infinitely generated. So, and Tucker proved that three manifold is tame if and only if for all k in M compact sub manifold pi 1 of M without k is finitely generated. Yes, I mean, but this is a condition that is a little bit difficult to check. Yes. I bet any I bet that any try that Jeff, to be polite, does is wrong. I mean that I don't, so you can you can say variable curvature, variable negative curvature, then it's fine. But I mean then it is probably that the same class. Yes, non-positive curvature is perhaps also true, probably. But after that, I mean I don't know. So there are examples of non-tame manifolds where homomorphs not with finite form of norm. Yeah. So with geometric, so there are manifolds with there is this homomorph minimal volume. So or minimal volume growth entropy, so normalized in some way. Yes. Or whatever. I mean there are examples where this is finite and they are non tame. You can construct every sort of diseases that you want. I mean, what do you have? So, which candidate do you have? No, I don't think so. I mean, I think for others, for all other geometries, it's true, but just because you know, you can make a list. So this is probably correct. Yeah. I mean, it is true for covers. So, as Dick was saying, there is this. Simon conjecture saying that if you have a cover of a compact irreducible manifold with an alienated fundamental group, then it is tame. But this is just, I mean, you are gluing hyperbolic pieces with other pieces which are simpler, and then you use the hyperbolic pieces are tame, and blah, blah, blah. Okay.